You are now listening to the Orgasm Network.
That's how winning is done.
Yo.
What's that?
What's that?
Let's start building some hurting bombs.
Why you gotta disrespect, bro?
I do respect you, bro.
Show some respect, bro.
I do respect you, bro.
Stop disrespecting, bro.
I respect you, bro.
Okay, I respect you too.
Okay.
The bro down is over. Let's bro out.
Bro out.
Party people.
Nice. We're starting this off. Thank you for checking us out. This is episode 28 of Woo Bro of What's Up Bro podcast. I am Nery Science and Mike Mercadal is with me.
What's up, bro?
I'm kind of expecting a call-in guest, which will be our first call-in guest.
Wow.
So excited. We are
upgrading.
I know. I know. So I'm hoping for it. But being comics, we really don't really do the necessary confirming. Yeah. Hey, here's a time, calling at this time. We're like, yeah, just call me up. And I just sent him a message now on Facebook being like, hey, we're starting to record.
Should we have an open door policy where whoever just shows up at What's Up Bro Studios can just get...
Well, if you show up at What's Up Bro Studios, that means you know where I live. If you know where I live, sure, just do that. If you are a creepy dude that has somehow called in or found out through some kind of
weird
interweb where I live, stay the fuck away from my house, please. Just stay the fuck away from my house. If I've invited you to my house, if you know where I live because I've invited you, welcome. If not, a call or Facebook text.
What's Up Bro Studios is like the moving castle that appears in different locations. What's that movie?
I don't know what moving castle. I thought you were talking about like a video game for a second. I thought you were talking about Mario Brothers 3. Where they had the
airship.
The airship,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's better.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. Anyways, man. So thank you for checking us out. We have a ton. I actually had like four emails.
Oh, four!
On woobro@nerysigns.com with old school movie pick suggestions.
Yeah, I love that. I love that that's what people are really like... gravitating towards the old school picks, man.
Well, first of all, we do like 30 minutes on it.
I know, for real.
So it's a good one-fourth of the podcast. Second of all, I think it's a whole, you know, just grabbing onto something that you remember from your childhood.
I think it's a lot. But I think a lot of this stuff is, like, a lot of people, like, there's been stuff that you've told me that I have discovered.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You have yet to. Well, actually, you let me discover the animated movie.
Ninja Scroll?
No, the...
Oh, Phantom Tollbooth?
Phantom Tollbooth, but you have yet to bring it in, so therefore I don't...
Shit, I keep forgetting to do that.
Exactly.
Hey.
Exactly. So we are recording to you on the night of the Home Run Derby, and I'll be honest with you, had Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins been in it, because he was supposed to be in it, but then he got injured.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually had surgery on it today on his knee, he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. Had he been participating, this podcast would not be being recorded right now.
No, yeah, so, we'd be watching.
So just to let you know, I am much of a hometown guy, and the Miami Marlins actually started following me today on Twitter.
Awesome.
And I was like, yes. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And then I sent out a picture on Twitter and saying, look, I got a new follower. Now if we could only get the Miami Heat to jump on board, blah, blah. So big shout out to the Miami Marlins on Twitter following me. I don't know how that happened. Thank you.
That's like random.
It really is random. It really is. I'm like, I don't even know how else to say it other than random. So cool. I got a couple porn stars, including my favorite, and now I have the Miami Marlins.
They're like the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. Right? Why wouldn't that be the same thing?
Jesus.
Anyways, man. So real quick, let's go and head off. Did you watch any of the old school picks?
I did. I watched you said I was never going to be able to find Hamburger, the motion picture.
Well, you talked about that last week that you had downloaded it, but you hadn't watched it and you didn't know.
All right, finally watched it.
Oh, so you watched it.
What a gigantic piece of shit that is.
Did it have a lot of titties?
Oh, the titties were great.
Phenomenal. How great were the... Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was the shit. It was... Oh, I can't even...
Did you think you were watching softcore porn at one point? Did you go, hey, what?
The opening scene of the movie is like shower scene, like multiple like girls in a shower scene
of course.
College. Yeah, I was just like... this is.
But did it was it not everything I said it was? I was like, totally, it was. I never said it was a great movie. At no point
was there any redeeming quality to the movie itself.
Yeah, like, no.
It was a piece. It was a stinker, bro. That thing was a horrible piece of crap.
Well, yeah, there's a reason why they don't make it on DVD. But I remember I specifically said I haven't watched this since I was literally 5, 6, 7 years old. And all I remember was a lot of titties. In fact, that was one of the first movies that I remember seeing titties on TV. That was one of the first titties I saw, period. Yeah. And that's what I remembered about it. And I remember the gratuity.
It was nudity, lots of titties. So last week was...
What, about the movie itself.
What?
Aside from it being a piece of shit, tell me the story. Because I don't remember anything. Remember I said...
It's about this guy...
It's just a small time boy.
I can't.
Trying to see some titties, girl.
Bring up Woobro from last week. Okay. So the plot of the movie is that this guy, he gets kicked out of college because he's so sexy.
He's so sexy.
He's like a super suave dude.
He's like Van Wilder before Van Wilder.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's a perfect description. I was trying to figure out how to phrase it, but yes, exactly. And then, so his parents are like very upset at him. And the dude already looks like he's in his 30s. Like the guy looks older than he's playing or whatever.
Right, like Van Wilder did.
Exactly.
Right.
And
none of those look like college students, by the way.
None of those people were college students.
None of those, even Van Wilder, none of those people look like college students. None of them. I was like, okay, the Indian dude, what's his name from Kumar?
And he was Taj.
Yeah, Taj.
I don't know his real name.
Whatever his real name is. Kumar. Who cares, right? He kind of looks like, in that movie, he kind of looked like he belonged in college, maybe. Yeah. And only because Indian people don't really age.
The darker the skin, the less you get sun damage.
So, right, that's. The scientific version of black don't crack, but okay.
I was trying.
Okay. All right.
I was paraphrasing that. But the guy.
Wait, but now that you say that, the whole darker skin thing, you know what I've noticed about Indian people specifically, not black, but Indian people, they don't. If you're 30, you still look like you're 20 type of deal, right? Or 40. But there's a certain age, and I don't know what the cutoff is, but there's a certain age that you go from looking like you're 20 years younger than you really are to looking ancient, like 1,000. You look like Gandhi. Like you go from looking as if you're 20, like stuck in a time zone where you're like 22 forever, for decades, and then you go from that immediately to I am Gandhi. I am a fucking raisin.
There's
I think
other cultures that have that too. Okay, like have you ever seen like Asian girls? Like if they go through this progression where they look like they look young, and then they look like a tiny little old raisin. Like there's no transition. Like there's a missing.
Which is the same thing as for Asians, the same thing with women as far as weight goes. You never see a fat Asian young girl. All the fat Asian women are old. They're rare in itself. They're rare. The fat Asian, the old Asian, the fat Asian women are
rare. I have not made a study of this.
Well, my studies are based on porn. My numbers are based on the pornography that I download, and I've noticed aside from none of them ever shaving, what the fuck?
That is a thing.
It's a weird thing.
It's a cultural thing.
Of course. It's a cultural thing, and two, I kind of dig it. I'm like, all right.
What? Really?
You know why I dig it? Only from them, because it's a cultural thing. It's across the board. You get me? So you go, if it's across the board, fine. Sure. But if you showed me one shaved Asian vagina, I'd be like, okay, never mind. Now every Asian vagina has to be shaved. And I know a lot of guys are going to be like, well, there's Tara Patrick. First of all, she's not full Asian. None of these American porn stars are full Asian.
He's talking about the legit from.
Yeah, the legit.
Like the website URL does not end in .com. It's exactly. Like ends in like .cn, .jp, .something. Some obscure Taiwanese.
To take one of Godfrey's jokes, he was like, their alphabet looks like a coffee table and a chair. And I think that's Godfrey. I want to say that's Godfrey. Anyways.
I don't remember. But what was the point of that?
So the point of that is that this dude gets kicked out.
Right.
So this dude gets kicked out.
The only college that he can get into... is Hamburger University.
Right.
Because he's trying to open up a franchise of Buster Burgers.
But was that his plan?
Burger Busters.
Was that his plan before he got kicked out of college, or was that his like last resort?
I think
plan?
It's his last resort.
Okay.
Ironically enough, the guy who's like the discipline, like for some reason, it's like a military school. Like there's curfew. Like the Hamburger University is like the strictest school in the world.
Well, you know, I was gonna tell you this. When you work at McDonald's, you find out a little bit about like that kind of university type of deal.
That exists.
That really does exist, and they really are like that's a big deal. Like not everybody gets selected. But they teach, like it's
that's for the owner operator.
Yeah. Well,
for I mean, I'm I got the inside track.
Yeah, your mom, right?
But like that's for the owner operators, like. For everyone that owns a franchise at McDonald's, you have to learn from the fucking fryers to the washing of things, like to the Coke machine, to the actual like signs.
Yeah, they don't just let like any Joe Blow open up a fucking at least for McDonald's, they don't let any Joe Blow open up.
No, they take
up
that shit serious, man. They take your that
credit
shit has
to, you have to have good credit.
Well, you have to buy
which is amazing because to own a McDonald's, you figure I don't want.
It's an instant moneymaker, though. I mean, you'll never lose money at McDonald's.
You know what I thought the same thing about, and I've often thought this was like to own a gas station. I know plenty
of people that their families own gas stations.
Yeah, you're in the money. I never understood why a gas station closes, other than running away from the income tax evasion type.
Bro.
Of, I really don't. Like, I've seen some like in Sweetwater where they're like, "Oh, we'll close down." Like from one day to the next, "Oh, we're closed," and I'm like, "What? It's a fucking gas station." I've seen this place. I've never seen it not packed.
It's because they sell bath salts.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so the guy goes to Hamburger University. Of course, there's a love interest. There's like the sassy, the like douchebaggy friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an assortment of different things. There's like the hot teacher.
Every stereotypical 80s movie.
Every stereotypical 80s. Oh, and then at the end, they have a trial run.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to clarify that.
I'm sorry. For those of you who just cut forward 5 minutes, but at the end of the movie, they have to run. Like it's their final exam and they have to run a day at the Buster Burgers or whatever the fuck it's called.
Right.
And the guy who's the head disciplinarian guy, it's Dick Butkus.
That's his name?
Dick Butkus from the NFL.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is that his name?
No,
okay.
But that's the movie he chose to break out in.
Well, yeah.
And
he also chose to be the commissioner of the XFL.
Yeah.
His business manager is not
whoever's
the greatest.
That guy's decisions. But I'll tell you right now that that last scene, there's bikers that come in and wreck the place. There's a platoon of fat people that they make fun of like make pig noises.
I remember that scene.
Oh my god! Like it's literally the most.
Was John Panette in that?
I didn't see specifics, but it was literally like fat people are less of a people. You know, like
I love John Panette, by the way. So don't.
Yeah. That wasn't a shot.
That wasn't a shot. That was an actual question.
Yeah. But I like no joke. It was just so terrible. It was just so bad. It was horrible. But it was lots of titties.
But it was horribly good? No.
No, not even horrible. That, dude.
Just horrible.
But what was incredible
What year was that in?
84?
Oh, okay. No, never mind. It wasn't Jumping. It was not in that.
Oh.
All right, go ahead.
We had to clarify.
I did. I really wanted
to. The world can now continue spinning because we know John Panette is not in Hamburger University. Yeah. But...
you know how cool he is. I've worked with him a bunch of times, and I love the guy. And I asked him one time for his intro, and he goes, first of all, his intro. He says, "Please welcome John Panette."
Yeah.
And that I go, "That's what he wants his intro to be." And I'm like, "That's it. You don't want me to mention anything else." And he goes, "No, just." And
which
I found
great,
this,
yeah.
Which is great. You know why? And I've heard a couple other people say this. He's like, "Dude, intro doesn't matter because it's what I say after the intro that doesn't make a difference. Unless you want to specifically promote something that you have coming out,
whatever.
The intro doesn't really matter." And he personifies that. He's like, "I'm jumping it. Just fucking
just say John Panette.
Just John Panette. The crowd's gonna go bananas.
I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna be John Panette, and then everyone's gonna know."
So as a joke, I was like, "You don't want me to mention Revenge of the Nerds 4?" and he was like, "Nah, we're gonna leave those gems out right now. We don't want to mention any of the gems." All right.
Oh man. But
so you were so the movie's bad. All right.
So the movie's bad, but Time Cop was fucking great, dude.
Right. Thank you.
It was really good.
I'm telling you.
I really wanted to make more fun of it, but it was just a solid movie. All right.
Look.
Let's be realistic.
Wait. The movie's really good.
The movie's great.
And the cheesiness was limited. You got to understand.
There was moments where, of course, look, first of all, it falls into the category of for the time, like, because realistically, I mean, the movie takes place in the future. But the of 2004,
are, right?
You know
right.
what I mean? Like it's already right. later. You know, so
but some of the things that happened, you saw when
the handheld voice recognition, the computer, the
right?
Like I'm like, yeah, everybody's got an iPhone with
no, and not only that, but the guy that his partner that he was in the '20s in the beginning of the movie when he puts in the mini disc,
yeah.
I was like, yeah. That's happened.
Yeah,
that came and went. I mean, that went. I mean, that was the stage in between CD and
it
MP3s.
Have had that time, it may have had. It may have
no,
had
they
it,
but didn't. Like, I remember watching that movie, going like, "That would be so fucking cool."
My brother had a mini disc player.
I had one secondhand, because my friend got one, and like 4 years later, he was like, "Oh, you could have it, whatever." And I had it.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine.
Really expensive, too expensive to maintain and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it was fine. But I'll tell you right now, that movie. It has its moments of there's a variety of cheese moments, but none of it take away from the movie.
Yeah,
like the story exactly. was, I mean, there were parts
solid
where I was like,
fucking story.
There were points where I was like, you could see where they were trying to get it. They were forcing it a certain direction. Like when he comes back from the past and then things have changed and he's like a time cop. He should know that no one's going to remember what had happened since then. You know what I mean? Like he goes back to the future after.
Well, I mean, there's a couple times he's gone back, so I don't.
Yeah,
I, don't know.
I mean,
I would have to have watched it with you to be able to say.
Yeah,
no.
And the world's worst knife fighting scene ever. Jean-Claude Van Damme, don't put a knife in that guy's hands.
I've never seen a good knife fighting.
The Hunted with Benicio Del Toro and...
Ah, okay.
And, all right,
but that's
Tommy
different because he made his own knife and blah, 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 blah.
Dude, that's one of the
that's
most...
A good, yeah.
Well, I all studied. Right,
but you know why? Here's the thing. Because that movie, The Hunted, was a movie where it was literally based on knives.
Yeah, like it was
that,
made,
that
yeah.
was his main weapon. Was
that
a knife.
Was that's one
that
of my, that's a
wasn't
great
a bad
movie.
Knife scene when he got the towel and he got it wrapped around his head and then he put his leg over it.
Dude,
and went,
dude,
bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was what you, that wasn't bad. What are you talking about? I don't. I, no. I'm like, it just hit me. Like, wait a minute.
No, that's not the part I was talking about. At one point, I love how you defended. You're like, wait a minute.
I was like, I don't. Yeah.
At one point, Jean-Claude Van Damme has one of the knives. Out.
You could just say Van Damme. I don't think his full name is necessary.
You have to respect the name. Jean-Claude Van Damme says, like, has the one knife, and he's just, I wish I could show the hand motion, because it's, like, it almost looked like he's fencing. You know how in every, like, sword fighting movie, right. they do the up, down, up, down, up,
right,
down, where it goes
right.
ching, 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 ching.
Right.
He was doing that, but with a knife.
Right.
So he was literally just pointing the knife up, and then the other guy, who was very good with the knife, would go, ching, 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 and, like, hit the knife.
Oh, right.
A bunch of times.
Okay.
And I was, and literally.
I think you're nitpicking at this.
No, because, well, I guess this is the things I noticed, because, I mean, I studied, like, weapon knives and stuff like that. So for the first couple minutes of that fight, I was just like, it was literally him just waving the hand, and then the guy would just swing for the knife.
Right.
And I was just, I was losing my shit. I was like, what? And then at the end, he does the fancy kicks and the split so that the taser doesn't get him in the water. Right. I was like, cool. Van Damme split, of course he's going to do
it. Right. Enter Van Damme split.
Yeah.
In this scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I wonder if that's the way the scripts go.
Like this.
He's reading the scripts and he's like, wait, there's no split here. I don't know. I read this and there's no split. What, are we going to insert a split somewhere? Like, what are we going to do?
Like, he literally, like, there's like a big board of, like, index cards.
Yeah.
And one of them says...
Storyboarding the split.
One of them says split. And they just, like, jam it in every now and again.
All right, there you go.
But honestly, it was totally watchable and enjoyable. The end was great. You know, like, spoiler alert. But, the way they tie everything together.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great movie.
It suffers... The special effects were great for the time, but it suffers from the time. Of course.
I don't think the special effects were that bad. The wobbly... Blah, blah, blah,
yeah, the part where the matter can't occupy the same space.
Oh, right.
That part, I was just like, oh, you could see... Oh, man. Okay.
But yeah, but that's... Hold on. Oh, we're getting a call from our guest. Hold on. Give me a second. All right. On the phone, we have Daniel Enfield. Daniel, what's going on, baby?
Nothing much, man. How you been?
Good, man. Good. You are, for those of us who are recording right now, and you're with Mike Mercadal. Mike's here, too.
What's up, bro?
And I was telling Mike a little bit about your story earlier off air, and then we started recording. And so you, how long have you been doing comedy now?
5 years.
5 years. And you moved to New York when?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. See, that's like he right when you started... You left in New York, which is great. I was talking to Mike about that. I think that was the best decision because you left and you didn't have to go through that oh, now I have to start a lower thing because you were just starting from where you were. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. What I was like thinking about before, you know.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Like are you still with your girl?
That's kind of up in the air right now.
Now we have something to talk about.
I like it. Dan, have you heard the previous episodes?
Yeah, no, I've been meaning to. No, I haven't listened to them yet.
Yeah, I know.
You're like married now, right?
Yeah, I'm married. I'm married. I have a kid now. Yeah, it's the whole nine yards. The reason.
A kid now?
Yeah, I got a kid. She turned 8 months yesterday, man. I have a daughter. Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I lost a bunch of weight. I lost like 100 pounds, and then I gained like 35, 40 back. And now I actually started going to the gym today, so I feel good about that. We were about to get into that now, where I was going to plan on it. But Dan,
now let me ask you a question. I mean, you had a lot of fat jokes when you were. I remember when I used to watch you. So did you have to?
I didn't have a lot of fat jokes, Dan.
you had that joke about eating underwear or something like that. You had an edible underwear joke.
No, I had the joke. That's not an edible underwear. I had the joke. I know what joke you're talking about. The joke you were talking about is the body icing.
The body icing, yeah.
Right. It has nothing to do with fat. It had to do with body icing and the fact that body icing, and this is a true story for our listeners, body icing is meant for foreplay. And what made me laugh about it is that as I'm reading this in Fredericks of Hollywood, the back of the canister that the body icing comes in has nutritional facts. And then I thought that was funny because I was like, who the fuck is buying this word about their calorie intake? So the whole joke was about how some guy was like, some couple was buying this, like, listen, you're going to rub it all over my body. We're going to make, this has too much sugar in it. Yeah, how about we just go home and get a couple packets of Equal and we sprinkle them on my tits and we call it a night. So, but that wasn't a fat joke. That's the joke itself right there.
But you would agree that joke is funnier coming from a fat guy.
I think any joke is funnier coming from a fat guy. I think. Because
you're 100%
right. I'm dead serious when I said that. Mike's laughing, but I'm not being facetious. Any joke, because the whole point of a joke coming from a good looking dude, it's not as funny. If you're good looking, skinny, you have no defects. That's not as funny as a guy who's like down on his luck and he's like, oh, this is a guy who's more relatable. The more relatable you are, the funnier the joke is. Any joke.
I've been saying that forever. Yeah, totally, man. Yeah. That's one of the things about comedy that's weird is that like you meet these like and especially in New York, like for example, like improv is like really popular in New York, you know, and like I feel like in Miami it's like not really that popular.
That's how I got my start.
What'd you say?
That's how I got my start. You know, like I did improv down here and then moved to stand up. But you're right; it's not as known or it's not as respected down here.
Right. But like improv, it's like a popular thing to do now. It's like a trendy thing. So like you meet these like really hot chicks and these like Wall Street bankers that are doing like improv classes, and it's like you don't have any real fucking problems. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's always that hurdle that when you see a good looking comic on stage. Because if he starts complaining about something, people will be like, fuck this guy. He's, yeah. You know, like, oh.
Thank you. I'm glad that you guys think that. Because I feel like, yeah, I hate when I mean, that's my own bias. Is that, like, I get biased when I see, like, a really good-looking person doing stand-up comedy. You know, I don't know.
No, I totally agree, Dan. I think it comes with that. It's same thing happens when comics who are established national headliners complain about money. You go, wait a minute. We know you're fucking rich.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, you know what I mean? We're not dumb. Like, Jerry Seinfeld cannot, not that he ever did, but you can't be a Louis C.K. and be like, oh, I'm just like the every guy. Like, oh, if Louis C.K. now were to complain about an $8 cup of coffee, we'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. It wouldn't hit at all.
You have, but that's the thing. And that's that's that analogy with money, but you could transfer it to looks. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's not. It's funnier coming from a fat guy, but that joke itself is not a fat joke, and it wasn't. Do I think it's funnier coming from a fatter dude? Yeah, but do I think I haven't done that joke in years, and you just reminded me of it, so thank you, because I'm gonna do that shit now.
I like that joke. I just
thanks, man.
Joke about
thanks.
That.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly haven't done that joke probably like in 4 or 5 years. I don't remember the last time I did that joke. And
that's so crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. So so thanks for the heads up. But Dan, but you're not a bad looking dude. You're a good looking dude. Do you have trouble with that when you go on stage? Do you fucking?
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, that's why I try to be like. I mean, I don't think I'm bad looking, but like, I wouldn't say I'm like. And I do a joke about this now. Actually, like, I'm not like. Well, it's kind of like, you know, like Chris Rock has that joke about how, like, I'm going to butcher it, but he has, like, that really famous, like, he's on his, it's on, like, I think it's on Bring the Pain, about how he's, like, he knows he's not ugly, but women look at him and they'll hook up with him, but they want to get something out of it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, right, kind of
in that vein, like, so, like, I think that I'm definitely not ugly, but I definitely...
Yeah, you work out. You don't have weight issues. You work out and shit. You know.
No, I'm kind of. I haven't worked out in a while. Man, I'm definitely not like that. You know, and I do talk about that too, about how like I am kind of chubby, but you can't see because I wear like larger clothing. You know.
Yeah,
I'm
you have that.
Better guy, but like, but I am conscious of that, so that's why I try to do very like self-deprecating stuff because I don't want people to be like, oh, this guy doesn't have. You know, I don't want people to think, oh, this guy doesn't have like real problems, stuff like that. So that's why I try to self-deprecate as much as possible in a way that's, like, genuine, because otherwise, you're right, yeah, exactly. I don't want to, like, alienate the audience and stuff like that. Like, for example, there's a guy that was doing stand-up comedy in New York for a few, he just moved to Texas, but his name is Ray Combs Jr., and he's, like, a good-looking, blonde-haired guy, and he's actually the son of Ray Combs, who was on The Family Feud. He was the game show host that committed suicide, you know?
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
You remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Mike, remember. Mike is more of a nerd than I am.
Yes, that's
true.
Yeah,
Ray Combs. Like, he's, like, a really screwed-up guy, but he's so effing funny, and, like, his whole routine is about how he's, like, the son of his, like, he's, like, the son of a dead game show host, and he has to, like, live with that, and it's, like, so dark, but he's, like, one of my all-time favorite. I mean, he's a little bit of a wacko, but, like, he's freaking hilarious, man. But when you look at him, you're like, oh, he's, like, a good-looking guy, you know, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Is that his whole act? That he's the son of a dead game show host?
Now, you know what's weird is, like, I knew him for, like, a while before I even knew about that. Like, I didn't put two and two together, but I think he was also like raised Mormon and stuff like that. So you have like a lot of like crazy shit you can like pull from.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
A lot of material to be able to pull from.
That's a lot of material, yeah. But no, I wouldn't say it's his whole act, but he does talk pretty openly about it. It's pretty crazy, man. He's a wacky guy, but I don't think he does much stand up anymore, which is sad because I think he was like one of the funniest comics I ever saw. But you know,
wow,
that's a glowing endorsement.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say that like that you end up getting a lot of that people not connecting with. Whenever like a celebrity will try to do stand-up comedy, like there was a story of John Mayer trying to do stand-up.
Yeah, John Mayer was doing comedy. He was like bumping people around New York. It was like a big thing for a while.
Yeah, and then he would get up there, and then I remember there was like this one thing where he made fun of some other comic, and then he goes like, "So I was at the DMV the other day." Like he tried to do like regular
right material,
like. No,
he's trying to do regular. He's trying to do regular dude material. Like I was at DMV because my driver fucked up. And
it's like fuck you. You're John Mayer. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Dude, I saw him do some joke in New York about how a fan will blow him just to request a song, and it's like fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Like, look at my problems. I gotta get a blowjob every time I want to sing. Every time somebody wants me to sing a song, like oh poor you, John.
Yeah.
It's like wait.
I don't really remember how the joke went, but it was something like, "Oh, this girl blew me. I thought she was like into me, and then she just wanted me to play one of her songs, like for her, like later."
Oh, poor guy. That sucks, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Was that woman Jennifer Aniston?
Which one? Yeah, which beautiful woman that he's hooked up with is that one?
Yeah. What a fucking.
Yeah, you see, but immediately we're like not giving a shit about his whether or not it's funny. We're just like, fuck, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, because on top of being good looking, he's already successful. So you were like, that's a double whammy of we know that you are not being genuine to the audience.
It's the whole first world problems thing. Yeah. You know, like when someone complains, like, oh,
yeah,
my iPhone loses battery so fast.
Yes, but you and I could complain about our iPhones losing battery, but John Mayer complaining about losing battery on his iPhone is like, well, no.
It's like a separate, it's the level above first world problems, celebrity problems.
Yeah.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point there. I mean, maybe thinking like the other side of it, like in terms of like audiences and stuff, because I only did comedy in Florida for a year, but I did do like a lot of like, you know, random spots and stuff like that. And it's kind of interesting to me because I feel like the best audiences that I found were in Dade County,
right.
You know? And then I would go to like, cause I'm sure you've been in that room, Captain Brian's or whatever, in Marshall Island.
I worked there last weekend.
Yeah. And like, and the guy that runs that place is awesome. And like, it's a really great place, but I feel like I only did that room like four or five times, but like, I feel like I eat shit there a lot because the crowd is like a lot of like older, like white retired people.
Right, right.
And I feel like in Dade County, you had like a more of like vibrant, you know what I mean? I almost think that audiences of people that have problems are also better audiences than, you know, like Snoop, you know what I mean? Like I never really had good comedy in Palm Beach County, really. I don't remember ever any good shows up there, really, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't agree with you on the Palm Beach thing because they have good, I feel they have great audiences. But the Marco Island thing, I think, you have a point there. I always say, I've worked there for years and I worked there pretty consistently. So I've gotten used to them. I kind of approach them in a little bit different way, but it's funny how one of the bigger jokes that I have there when I go to Marco is like, as I'm doing a bit that I know they're not relating to, I'm like, I know, you know, and I literally call out the fact that, they're the opposite of me. I'm like, they're white,
right,
old,
right,
and rich, and I'm not.
Yeah.
So that's, right, yeah, you know, that's, and then, totally, and then they laugh. The white, old, rich people laugh at that. They're like, oh, he realizes that he's not as good as us. We're like, yeah, right, right, I do.
Like, if you want to do that, if you want to find that same kind of crowd, because I'm not nearly at the level that you guys are at, and I've been doing some shows over on the Gulf Coast, where if you go to like the little, like, white trashy redneck area where the people go to see a comedy show, for some reason struggle makes people want to laugh a lot. So like, you get these guys.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to like the known place, they're going to be people who are older and have money and all that stuff. But if you go to some random hole over there, like, I had the best set I ever had was, the set I just did in some place at a bar that they set up the room. Like,
in
they
Naples,
did it right
in Naples.
In Naples. Yeah.
Right. Right.
There was like, you know, well, they were there to see a show. You know?
No, that's totally. That's why I always thought the best venue that I did in South Florida. I don't know if it's. I know the Literary Cafe. Do you guys? Is that place still? I mean, I know the guy got killed, unfortunately, which is horrible.
What the heck? What?
Yeah, yeah. I remember the poet got killed at Literary Cafe. There was a poet. Will the real one?
Did they ever catch who did that?
I have, what, dude. You know what's so funny? Because I heard about it right after it happened. Will the real one was a poet, a def jam poet. He was literally on like
poetry slam.
Poetry slam. It was, yeah, yeah. He like ranked. He was like number two. I actually saw the dude live twice before he got to HBO and stuff like that. Twice I saw him. One of the times was at Literary Cafe before I even did comedy. And then the other times, but he was really good as a poet. He was, and then he got killed there.
And they were doing stand-up at this place?
Yeah, they did. Well, it was one of those open mics, like open to all.
Oh, like an all arts kind of.
Yeah, all arts open mic. And he owned the place. He was part owner, and he was closing up, and they shot him or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if they caught him. Thanks for bringing the podcast down, Daniel. I don't know if they caught him, but I don't know what happened.
Like a year ago, like today, or like it happened like pretty much exactly a year ago, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember when it happened, going, oh shit. I think it happened longer than a year ago, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Maybe.
I kind of remember that.
Maybe. Really. Maybe it was a year ago. I don't know. That's a job for Google. We will Google that, and then
on the break, we're definitely gonna find out.
Yeah, definitely gonna find out, man.
Yeah, dude. He was like the nicest guy ever, man. That was such a tragedy. But not to bring the podcast down, but you know. But anyways, my point was that like those audiences. I mean, obviously, like I'm a white Jew, you know, and like I would go there.
Oh, you're Jewish? We gotta hang out.
And I would do pretty well because, like, that room was like, it was kind of, it wasn't kind of ghetto. It was really people that went there usually were like from the hood.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, they were there to like have a great time. It didn't matter, and it was almost like it was so awkward that I was there that it was like kind of funny because like, you know who would have like the best sets there? I remember it was like Pam.
Oh, Pam was like, great. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pam Bruno.
It's just so freaking ridiculous that she was there, and it's so funny already without even, you know, trying, you know?
Yeah, she's great. But she's great. She's funny regardless of where you put her. She's going to be great.
Oh, no, totally. But yeah, I mean, but that's just like extra, like an extra punch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, Daniel, we were talking about one of our segments on the podcast is the old school pick of the week. And we pick like an old school movie, a movie that's not necessary, that really the only requirement is that it's not seen on TV often. So like we couldn't like just, and I give the example, the blanket example of Top Gun.
You know, so we so we go in and Mike and I will have choices that we none of us know what each other's choices every week, and we just pick a movie and we go, hey, this was a good movie, or maybe it was a bad movie, but I liked it because I was a kid and I didn't know any better.
Nary's got plenty of those. Right.
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
So we pick movies that essentially would not be like if you turned on TNT,
it wouldn't be playing. It wouldn't be playing. And to give the example, what movie did you pick last week, Mike?
What did I pick last week?
Fucking guy. Mike never remembers what movie he picked. Hold on, give me a second, dude.
Did I pick, was it Nick of Time?
Yes, it was. Mike picked Nick of Time and with Johnny Depp. And did you ever see that one?
Yeah, it was all right. I remember that was pretty good. That was where he has to like save his like kid or something like that.
That's exactly what I remembered from it. And then my pick was Time Cop, the Van Damme movie.
That's funny. Yeah, you know, Johnny Depp, I think, is from Miramar. Someone told me I could believe that.
Yeah, he was in a band down here and everything.
He was in a band down here. I know some of, like, my friend's dad used to go see him all the time. Like, that's the age gap.
That's so funny, yeah.
Like, it's...
Are you guys, like, asking me for a pick, or are you just like, what are you...
Yeah, man, sure, yeah. I wanted to get your thoughts. I
haven't seen in years. I remember it being good, but it was horrible. Cruel Intentions, remember that movie?
Oh, okay. Cruel Intentions. Yeah, that was...
I remember thinking that was like a really good movie 10 years ago. Now I think it's like complete trash. I just watched it for the first time in like 10 years.
Wait, did you actually think the movie was a good movie, or did you just like it because you were raging hormones?
I was a fan 10 years ago.
Raging hormones. I remember thinking when that movie came out, Cruel Intentions, that I said the movie is not good, but Sarah Michelle Gellar kisses another chick.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking in.
She does, yeah.
So I'm in. But I knew it wasn't.
She fell off, man. She was like a hot commodity for a while.
Yeah. And then she did Scooby Doo, and that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote.
So what's up, man? Are you getting a lot of spots down there? It seems like.
I'm really, really lucky, man. I've been blessed. I've been getting I've been getting constant spots. I really don't go much too long without getting on stage for the improv. I'm pretty much an improv guy. So I work Thursday through Sunday a lot. And then Monday through Wednesday, Monday we record a podcast, and then because I have the wife and kid, I try to just pull in as much family time as possible.
That's cool, man. You're getting like any good headliners you're working with recently? Or?
I don't know what. I worked with a Aries Spears. Aries was really fucking funny, man. I was really surprised because I don't know why, but I went in there with like, oh, I'm not gonna like him. I'm not going to like it. And then he's really cool, really nice guy, and he's really funny. And I was like, wow, he's really... And he does impressions a lot. Right. And for some reason, comics, we just automatically... We go, oh, that's hacky. But he does them really well. Like, he doesn't just go like, and this is what this guy sounds like. And
that's there's a reason that guy was on Mad TV.
Yeah. He's really funny, and he's really nice. I didn't think he was going to be as nice as he was. He was really nice to me. Like, to the point that he sent me a text when the Heat won. He was like, go Heat. Like, he was really fucking nice to me.
That's awesome,
like,
man. That's freaking Heat won the chance. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, dude, they hate LeBron so much up here. It's ridiculous.
Well, they hate LeBron everywhere. That's not Miami. Yeah. that's not Florida.
It's bullshit. Like, why do you hate the guy? And what's bullshit is that, like, if he was on the Knicks, people would just be on this guy's jock like you wouldn't believe. You know?
Well,
like,
he said it. LeBron said it perfectly last year, last season, when they were talking about how much Noah from the Bulls was talking about how much he hates him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, he can say all that he wants now, but he knows as much as well as everybody else knows that if that he wanted me on his team. So,
oh, yeah, totally. And it's like, for example, like Tim Tebow. Like, I personally like Tim Tebow, but a lot of people hate Tim Tebow.
Dude, I love Tim
and
Tebow.
I can actually understand that because he doesn't make, he's not, you can make an argument that he's not good. I think he is good, but a lot of people don't think that. But you could at least back that up with, like, stats that he's not a good player.
Right.
And, like, the whole God thing, you know? But, like, LeBron James is just so good now at this point that I don't see how you can really hate him and get
and
away
that's
with
the part
it.
That's the part as a Heat fan. First of all, I never disliked, even before he was with the Heat, I never disliked LeBron. He's not like Shaq. I never liked Shaq, ever. Even when he joined the Heat, I was like, I don't like you. I have to like you now because the Heat is my favorite team. So
right,
I have
right.
to like you now. But I never liked Shaq, and LeBron is not that dude. LeBron wasn't that dude that I'm like, oh, I hated you, but now I have to like you. And
there's no denying like real talent. Like,
yeah,
like, he's if not the best player right now.
He is the best player.
There's no denying that he's a fucking phenomenal basketball player, regardless of what team he plays for.
Right.
You know?
And that's the part.
He's amazing. thing. And like, I don't know. I don't get all the LeBron, but like, dude, like, everyone's like walking around with like a fuck LBJ t-shirt and stuff up here. It's bullshit, man.
It's so funny.
Well, it's literally you drive an hour or two north of here and everybody hates, you know, like.
Well, West Palm, everybody still likes them, but you go to Orlando.
Once you hit Orlando, forget it. But that's like, it's like, how do you, because it just sounds like bitching at this point where you're, when you say LeBron, when you hate LeBron, because it's not because, oh, he's overrated. No, he's actually that good.
No, or, he's really, really good.
You just don't like that. Yeah, man.
I've been a Heat fan since fucking Baby Jordan and Glenn Rice, man.
Oh,
you know,
remember that?
I finally started winning some fucking, you know, championships here, you know?
Yeah.
We should find out what happened.
I agree with you about Shaq. I feel like Shaq's image is really taking a hit in recent years. I feel like, you know, once the whole thing came out, you know, he was like, you know, philandering on his wife and stuff like that. Like, he's not like the lovable, like, all around, you know, all American guy that I think he was kind of painted as like 10 years ago, you know?
When the news came out that he was fucking around on his wife, that actually made me like him more. But at that point, it was too late. I was like, I never liked him as a player. I thought he was overrated. I'm like, you're just a big, big dude, and you're physically you're physically imposing, but there's no talent. That to me was always my argument about Shaq, even before the Heat. I'm like, there's no talent. You're just huge. And if you want to show me talent, show me that you can shoot the ball. And then his free throws said it all. I'm like, you're horrible.
Right,
like,
that's right.
Like, the one thing that takes talent in Shaq's predicament, in Shaq's situation, because he's so big and huge, and he's a center. And he was dominating because he was physically dominating, not because he was skilled. It wasn't because of skill. It was just natural.
You have to call him Dr. O'Neal now.
Oh, that's right. He got a PhD.
He's got his doctorates now. He's Dr. Shaquille O'Neal.
But I'm saying, I know that you're a couple years older than me, but like, when I was growing up, it was like Shaq Fu, and he had like the movie Shazam and stuff like that.
I remember that movie. Yeah, I was a kid. Like, how old are you now, Dan?
What would you say?
How old are you now?
I'm 25.
So I'm 30. I mean, we're not that far off. I remember watching Shazam and wanting to like it. I mean, like, it's not that bad.
I played Shaq Fu on my Super Nintendo.
I'm totally getting it. I'm not saying that much older, but I'm saying back then he had like a family friendly image. I'm saying that, like, I feel like it's not the case anymore. You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's all a lie because, I mean, he's a professional athlete and they're not known for their morality. You know what I mean? Like, they're not known for being faithful.
You know, making it full circle, the athletes that are known for their morality, Tim Tebow, are hated on by the media.
People hate the guy, and it's like, what are you going to hate the guy for? He's not out, like, making a rap video.
He's a nice guy, because he's nice and he believes in values. He's like, ugh. Fuck that guy. Like, what?
Yeah. Him and his values. Philander.
Ugh.
Can you go fuck a porn star,
for God's sake?
People just hate the guy. I don't really get it. I mean, like, no one in New York is excited that he's on the Jets. Everyone, like, hates the guy. People just vilify him. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
So you've been in the city. Do you perform? Do you travel around? Or do you just do comedy in New York?
Well, you know, I work 9 to 5, which is, it's pretty rough. So it's hard to get... it's hard to kind of leave, you know. I couldn't really do like a feature week. I mean, somewhere, but I just did my own show at Gotham Comedy Club. I sold it out, so that was awesome. Great.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many. I mean, I do perform in like New Jersey a lot, and I do perform in. I run a monthly show in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is pretty close to the city. And then for like a year, I had a show I was doing with my friend Jay and Josh at a hostel in Chelsea that we had.
I remember that. I remember seeing. Friday,
so
yeah, I remember seeing.
A bunch of comics did it, like Forrest did it. Oni's done it a bunch of times, and John did it when he was living up here too. So.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing pictures of Oni and Forrest doing it. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stage time up here. It's pretty good. I mean, it's definitely weird. It's like the club structure is pretty similar to Florida, I would say, because like the only way you really get stage time in the club is either by doing like a bringer show or something like that. So it's pretty hard to get like legit stage. It's pretty hard to get stage time with the clubs, but there's a lot of like alternative rooms and things like that. There's tons of bar shows you can perform at.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need to be in a comedy club.
I've heard there's on any given night you'll go and some of these random alt rooms will have like amazing national comics will just be dropping in and hanging out.
Yeah, totally, yeah. But it's almost like, but getting booked on those shows now is like pretty much just as hard as it is to get booked at a comedy. I mean, they're both really hard, you know. It just depends. Like, you have to really have, like, that's the thing, man. Like, if you just have, like, one TV credit, that can really, I think, change a lot. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't really know where my comedy career is gonna, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, talking about people that complain, you know, I know that you've been doing comedy longer than me, Nary, so if I complain, I think that
I'm well, no, I mean, but it's, so, it's a, just a different animal, man. It really is just a different animal. I mean, I've been doing comedy longer than you, but then again, I mean, I get up a lot, man. I really can't complain. Like, it's one of those, I look back at my life and go, wow, that's, I really, you know what I mean? And people, like, I, my only wish, and it's not a complaint, my only wish is that I wish I could travel nationally more, because I know I have the ability to do it, I know I have the talent to do it, but I, it's just,
right,
you know what I mean? Like, I, but with that said, I still, you know, in June, I worked 4 weekends, and June was a long month in the sense of there was 5 weekends in June, I went up 4 of those weekends, you know, and 3 of those consecutively, and then I took I was a week off, and then I went, you know, so I get plenty of work. I mean, I really can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, man, it's been really cool, man. I've done comedy, like, I was in Chicago 2 weeks ago, did a bunch of spots out there, and I did comedy in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They have a really awesome comedy club there. I did a spot at like 6 months ago. So, you know, I've been hitting up a bunch of different rooms and stuff. So there's a lot of cool stuff out there, you know.
So when's your Comedy Central special coming?
To kind of piggyback on your point, I mean, like, for example, like, I did a guest spot at like this club called Zany's in Chicago.
I know Zany's. Yeah.
And it was like, dude, it was like, I couldn't believe how many comics live out in Chicago. It was crazy. So it was like, there was like 50 comics just there to like talk to the booker about getting like maybe like one feature weekend a year. So if you're getting like, you get way more than that in like a month in Miami. So like, that's pretty amazing. You know, it's for the same talent. You know what I mean? So it's like, that is pretty cush. You know?
Yeah. So I mean, it's South Florida. It's not just Miami. It's West Palm and Fort Lauderdale, but it's all, you know, within an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. And I'm okay with that. I'm like, all right, so that's fine.
I mean, it's like a lot of people up here ask me like, what's it like doing comedy in South Florida? And it's like, it's actually, you can get a lot of good stage time there. My only real beef with, not to get on my high horse here, but, my only real beef with South Florida, I don't know if you agree with this, but like, there just wasn't enough, like, I don't know, like, for example, like, you know, and for example, like, I'm of the belief that like, no one owes me anything, right? So for example, like, there's a club in New York called the Comic Strip that'll let you audition like twice a year for like their late night spot.
Right.
Like, they'll give anybody a 5 minute audition for late night, right? And so like, that to me is like, that's so nice of them to even do that, because most people won't even give you that opportunity, right?
Right.
So, but like, the only beef I really had with Florida was that I just don't get why, like, the bookers, it doesn't seem like there's any real kind of like, it seems like no one really gives a shit about the openers, you know? Like, for example, you know, there's the South Beach Comedy Festival every year that, like, isn't really, like, the improv is, like, not really even really a part of that, you know?
Yeah, which, to me, I mean, is, like, it's really two different. Weird. Yeah, it's just the South Beach Comedy Festival, I did it a couple of years. I tried out a couple of years and I did the festival a couple of years. And, but yeah, they have nothing to do with the comedy clubs themselves. It's just a festival that comes rolling through. And
the thing is that it's the quote unquote South Beach Comedy Festival, and they try and do all the shows on South Beach. So the clubs in the Grove, the clubs just, there's just no comedy club on South Beach.
Yeah.
And it's,
which there should be. That would be so cool if there was.
Yeah.
There
I agree. I think they should take the improv in the Grove, this is my opinion, personal opinion, the improv in the Grove and move it to the beach, I think, because the Grove, the improv has been in the Grove for such a long time. It was at the Grove when the Grove was a place to be.
Yeah.
And now it's not. Like, it's not.
Yeah, the Grove, well, didn't, like, the whole Last Call thing, they pushed that back, right? So that kind of screwed everybody there.
Well, last, right? I mean, it's like not that. Even about alcohol. It's the fact that nobody's going to the Grove anymore because...
No, but I'm saying, but like, I thought that was because, like, it used to be Last Call, it used to be 4 a.m., but now it's 2 because they rolled it back.
A
couple years ago.
See, we don't know about that because we don't go to the Grove anymore.
Yeah, we don't
have to deal
well,
with
it. Well, I don't even drink alcohol, so I honestly am the last person to know about that. I just see the people walking around, like the walk-up business. If you go to the Fort Lauderdale Improv, the walk-up in Fort Lauderdale is bananas because you see so many people walking around the Hard Rock that you go, hey,
oh yeah,
that they're just going to be walking around and be like, fuck it, I'll go for the club.
County, and like, there was nothing to fucking do growing up, and then they built that Hard Rock, that freaking thing, and that's like, it's a mob scene because it's like the only thing to do for miles around there.
Right, right. And that, the same popularity that has, you know, 10 years ago, the Grove had that popularity.
Yeah, that's pretty much like a direct correlation between the two. Because now, like, there's people who just go hang out and walk around the Hard Rock, and then that's what they used to do in the Grove.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
that's a good point.
And I think
that's definitely true.
if they were to put a comedy club in South Beach, because people go to South Beach for the sake of going to South Beach, not having any concrete plans. If they were to put a comedy club there, I think it would be like people that will go to, that are in the area will go, fuck it, let's just go into a comedy club and they will enjoy.
I live on the beach and I lived on South Beach, so like there are so many little local spots that the tourists don't know about, that if you do a comedy club, you would get a lot of those locals every week.
Wasn't there a comedy zone there like 15 years ago?
Yeah, there was one there a while ago, and then it's closed shop, and they've never kind of replaced. There's been a couple of people down here trying to do rooms on the beach, like trying to start up, like, you know, bar rooms and stuff. But because, you know, it's the beach and everything has to be glitz and glamour and all that stuff, the way they try to promote it that way, and it just falls flat. You know, you can't get the regular business.
Yeah.
No, someone should start up a comedy. That's a good idea, man. If I ever quit comedy up here and I move back, that's what I'll do.
I say we start What's Up Bro Comedy Club on South Beach.
I think we should. All we need is money and money.
It's not like comedy clubs aren't owned by enough failed comics, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're gonna do. Well, Dan, man, thanks a lot for calling us in, bro. We're gonna have to take a break because I gotta take a piss.
Man. It was great to talk to you, man. If you're ever up here, let me know.
Bro, appreciate that very much. Dan Enfield, and Dan, what's your Twitter? Let everybody know your Twitter, man.
I never use it. It's at Daniel Enfield.
All right. So what's your Facebook? You use Facebook?
Facebook.com/ the Danimal. THADANIMAL. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. I would get that checked and corrected if I were you.
That was his AOL screen name from 1996.
Oh, shit. Wow. All right, Dan, thanks a lot for calling us in, brother. If you're in New York, check out Dan Enfield. Funny dude. Again, he's a mover, man. He puts rooms together. So thanks a lot. That was him hanging up on us. So perfect. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be right back after these quick commercial messages. All right, and we're back.
That movie is the reason I got hurt holding onto the back of a car riding my skateboard.
Luckily, I was I never had a skateboard. Well, I had a skateboard, but it was like a cheesy skateboard. It wasn't like a real actual
like a toy.
Skateboard. Yeah, exactly.
No, it didn't really matter at this point. It was just like I wanted to hang onto the back of a Jeep. And that song, going back in time.
You know, it's funny because as a kid, the amount of things that I wanted to do, I never actually did because the overwhelming fear of getting hurt, the fact that I was a pussy, completely.
That put a
like,
hit
I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I got hurt a lot as a kid, but it was usually because of my older brothers.
You never acted out the Jean-Claude Van Damme moves on anyone. You never tried to do the snap kicks and the spinning kicks.
I would literally have Bloodsport tournaments in my room. as a kid, I swear to God, I would in my imagination, in my mind, I was like, and I go through like levels and shit like that. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
But only amongst myself, I was never like, and I remember being an angry kid and like getting in a lot of fist fights, but I never thought like, let me give this guy a roundhouse kick. I never put that into play. So, anyways, it was great to hear from Dan. I haven't heard from him in a while. That's Dan Enfield. I like the fact that we had a phone call interview.
That was cool. That worked out.
I hope it worked out. I want to hear it afterwards. It sucks though because a lot of times I'll be listening to the radio and they'll have a phone interview and the guy on the phone is talking and then the host on the radio are like, oh yeah, and they'll try to insert some kind of input, but the guy on the phone is already in the groove, so it didn't really. And that can't happen because I'm talking to the listeners now. When Mike and I are talking, or when we have a guest in studio, we try to shut up when the other person is talking. And, you know, you can't really do
communicate.
That on the phone. Yeah, because you can communicate and see, okay, he's about to talk, let me shut up.
Right.
And but on the phone, it's hard. But I thought he was great, man. He brought up a lot of good points about comedy.
Right.
I thought it was weird that he was like, that's a fat joke. I'm like, that's not a fat joke.
You got real got kind
of
defensive.
Well, I got defensive because it's not a fat. Because I have a lot of pride in the fact that even though I was a fat guy, I was never a fat comic.
Never. I don't consider myself a fat comic.
That's an interesting. It's just an interesting turn of phrase. That you, I was a fat guy, but I was never a fat comic.
I was never a fat comic. My comedy was not about me being fat. Was not about my weight gain. And to give that example that he gave, I'm glad he brought up that joke because I was like, "What joke are you talking about?" And he brought up a great joke that I haven't done in years. But you heard it. I pretty much said it word for word, and it's that has nothing to do with weight. It has nothing to do with. It has to do with the fact that our society has...
You watch your diet.
You watch your diet.
You can't even let loose in the bedroom.
You can't even let loose watching, you know, doing foreplay, you know, because now you got to count your calories and count your Weight Watchers points.
You're about to burn off those calories. Yeah. It's okay.
You're about to do things that were enable you to... Okay.
You're about to get all sweaty.
Sweaty and
But then
sticky.
It's going to mix with that whatever it is.
Pour some sugar on me.
Good Lord.
All right.
For those of you... I'm so glad this isn't a video podcast.
Yes. For the moment. All right, so we're talking about Time Cop. I thought it was great.
It was great. Good. It was a great movie. There were parts, of course, you make, you know, there's some laughing bits where you're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, that's true with any action movie.
It's true with any action. It's true, exactly.
We tweeted some shit about Van Damme movies. You said... That you put The Quest, because I watched The Quest this weekend.
Did you watch it?
No, I tweeted about it. I go, what? I'm watching The Quest. I haven't watched this in years. One of my top 10 favorite Van Damme movies, right? And I found Van Damme's Twitter and I put his thing, you know.
Whatever. Yeah, I know. We were totally trying get a to response,
him, like get like, a response out of
elicit
him.
Elicit a response from him.
But so I watched Van Damme's The Quest and it's really bad, man. It's really bad.
Disagree.
It's really bad.
I disagree.
The story's bad. The story has no continuity. At the beginning when he's an old man and he's telling the story afterwards.
Yeah.
The guy asked him a fucking simple question. Where did you learn how to fight like that? And he goes into this whole story of a fucking tournament with a golden dragon and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what the fuck? But there was no eat. It was talk about being forced. There was that whole flashback was forced. Like,
yeah.
How did you fight? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the first 3 seconds of the movie.
But to get into the flash, to get into the story, it wasn't a good reason to get into the story. And then at the end, when they snap out of the flashback, and he was like, "I did not win the dragon, but I left with something much more valuable than that." I said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like, the guy just asked you a simple question, like, "Where did you learn to fight like that?" And that's, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing.
That movie was really bad, bro.
Hold on.
You want to talk about forced storylines?
I'm not saying that it's not forced storylines.
All I'm saying is that it's more forced than 10 other Van Damme movies.
I'm saying I like it more than 10 other Van Damme movies.
Did we go through the list?
You went through the list.
The Quest in your top four.
It's on my Mount Rushmore.
You put it in your Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
And you put that over Bloodsport.
No, Bloodsport's first.
Okay, Bloodsport. So
there's no order on my mountain.
All right, so what's your mountain?
I actually put it up. My mountain is Bloodsport.
Right.
The Quest.
Right.
Time Cop's now on there.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah, Time Cop.
You're welcome, sir.
Time Cop's
You're
on
welcome.
There. And, what was the other one that I put up there? Oh, Bloodsport, Time Cop, The Quest, and Lionheart.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are my favorite. Okay. I didn't say they're the best. Those are on my mountain.
So those are on your mountain. Yes. So you would put The Quest instead of Kickboxer.
I know it's
crazy. Crazy to me.
I never connected with Kickboxer.
My God.
I've seen it like one time when I was a kid.
I had a friend of mine who said, when you mentioned that about Boy Meets World,
yeah,
I had a friend of mine text me and be like, "I wish you would have ended the podcast." He said that would have been the best time to end it. He said, "What the fuck is that guy thinking? I really wish you would have ended the podcast there because that would have been really funny and it would have taught him a lesson." I'm like, "Well, I don't know about that, but yeah." And I was like, "Well, he's lucky. He got me in a Van Damme state of mind, so I was already going off on this whole Van Damme treatment."
I thought we were here to express our unique ideas. Let's all agree with Nary.
Again, this text is not coming from me. This text is coming from somebody else. So it's not just about agreeing with Nary. It's about agreeing with other people who totally agree that you're wrong in your opinion. So, anyways,
right.
your mountain about not including just whatever, man. The Quest was bad. I saw it.
I'm gonna tell you
two
why.
Days ago,
I'll tell you exactly why. And this was brought up by the whole Bruce Lee thing. The Quest for me. The story is Jean-Claude Van Damme and Frank Dukes.
Yes, I know. which made me disappoint, which got me so, it disappointed me even more. I didn't know the Frank Dukes part until I watched it on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. So I watched it on Saturday and it said written by Frank Dukes. And I go, Frank Dukes? So I Googled this shit. Sure enough, I'm like, oh, wow. I really wanted to like it even more so.
Yeah. So this movie I started watching right around the time I started getting into like martial arts and started doing all this stuff.
So you like it, but it's not good.
No, it's what you like. It's what your favorite is. It's not necessarily the best.
We're going back to what we talked about last week about when we were kids. If we wanted to like a movie, we were going to like it whether it was good or not, and we would not admit to ourselves that it was not a good movie.
I still think it's good. I think
fights were not good. That it was. I'm just.
Be real, man. I disagree because I like.
When was the last time you saw it?
This week, just
you saw The Quest.
Yes. I watched The Quest. I watched Bloodsport, which ironically enough is almost the same fucking story.
I haven't watched Bloodsport in a year, and I'm watching The Quest going, this is Bloodsport.
It is.
This is Bloodsport. I'm like, they have the same fighters. Yeah. They have the black guy who does all the crazy dancing. They have the skinny Japanese or Chinese fighter.
Yes.
They have the big sumo. I'm like, this is fucking Bloodsport.
Yeah.
It's like Frank Dukes was like, I didn't get enough money from Bloodsport. Let's make more money.
That's exactly what it was.
And I was like,
but
all right.
I liked it. I liked the fucking. First like the of fact, all, James Bond is in it.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that Van Damme fought in boots. That's really weird to me.
That he was wearing. Oh yeah,
the construction boots. I'm like, why are you wearing construction boots?
I love that everyone.
He didn't wear them in any other part of the fucking movie. Like, but it's time to fight. I'm wearing jean shorts. What?
Yeah, like he's like, time to put on these steel toe boots.
Oh, and then his Taibo,
the Taekwondo,
the Muay Thai friend dies, and he takes the Muay Thai friend's headband, and he wears. I'm like, that's so Bloodsport, man.
Yeah.
How the fuck? So basically, you like blood. So your mountain is Bloodsport, Bloodsport 2, and the Time Cop,
Bloodsport,
and
the
Lionheart. I don't know, man. Whatever. I just thought the movie was bad.
Because here's the thing, you know what? I don't go back to Kickboxer. I don't go back. I've seen it like once, maybe, and I like years ago.
Watch it again.
I think I should too.
I'll lend it to you, man. I got it.
I
actually have that in the same DVD as The Quest.
Oh, they came as a double feature.
Actually, it came as a quadruple feature.
Oh shit!
It's The Quest, sudden death.
What Sudden Death is the hockey one?
The hockey one.
Shit, that one was good too.
Awesome, man.
That one's good too. I'm talking about my favorites.
Whatever, man.
My favorites.
We're not gonna. You know what? We're not gonna get anywhere. We're going to go round and round. You're going to make me wish I could fight and was bigger and stronger than I actually am.
But that was the time that I started doing martial arts. So I loved seeing all the different martial arts. Because I studied Kung Fu. I did Kenpo. I did, you know, Aikido. I did, you know, I even did Capoeira for a little bit.
You just named three reasons why I don't reach over the table and smack you every time that you say things that I disagree.
Either that or
to.
We're social human beings who can speak with words.
It's most likely the Taibo and Kung Fu. It's most likely.
I'm an expert Taibo. Billy Blanks. I watched that video so many
expert
times.
Expert bitches. all right. So what do you got for this week? What are your old school
this week? Because I fucking loved when we like the energy that was unleashed after you brought up the Three Amigos in my life. I've watched it three times since. Like, it's just on my DVD player now. Like, it's just chilling there. And I was thinking about like other really good, like that, like I was thinking, and the first one that came to mind was Spies Like Us. Okay. And that was a fan submitted pick.
Yeah.
A friend of mine told me about it at work, this guy Alex. And he was like, "Oh my god, Spies Like Us." We were doing bits from that movie too with Emmett Fitzhugh.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah, man.
Spies Like Us is great.
Spies Like Us, and you never see like people should acknowledge that one as much as they acknowledge like Three Amigos and all that stuff. Yeah. Three Amigos is better.
Which is the movie that I said was better than Spies Like Us on Twitter. Somebody tweeted Spies Like Us, and I was like, Spies Like Us is good, but not as good as.
Oh, shit,
I want to say that they. I was talking about Spaceballs is better than.
Spies Like Us. Spaceballs is better than Spies Like Us.
Yeah.
It's and I was like, it's just different, but Spaceballs is more like goofy, funny, you know, whatever. Spies Like Us was like, you know, political, had like the whole spying on Russia thing.
Right. No, it was. I liked it. I liked Spies Like Us.
And the scene where in Spies Like Us where they're taking the test.
I literally saw that movie once when I was like 11 years old.
You gotta see it.
So right now you could name me, you're gonna name me scenes that I'm not gonna relate to because I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, because I saw that movie once when I was.
Are you gonna pull the
No, because I've actually seen it.
Oh.
But it's just been so long since I've seen it that I could be like, oh yeah.
It's worth a rewatch, man.
I'm sure it is. I'm not doubting it.
Very funny. Dan Aykroyd.
You're talking about Dan Aykroyd and Chase in their prime.
Yeah, and in their heyday.
And they're man, they must have gotten laid.
Yeah, they
Pussy Galore.
That's another movie.
Another Bond.
Yeah.
I actually had four emails, like I talked about earlier, that they submitted old school picks of the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm gonna put the picks that I had on back burner in out of respect to our viewers.
So no double ups.
No, I'm not doubling up.
Okay.
I'm just not. The movies that I already had on my list, I'm gonna put those on a back burner because I wanna attend to the ones that the listeners pick,
yeah.
Right. One of which I will not pick as my old school pick of the week. I'll tell you what the suggestion was, but there's no way with a clear conscience. And that was my response.
Yeah,
to her.
You had a moment here where you were like, I'm not picking that.
That was my, and I don't know what it is. All due respect, and I purposely told you as I got the email right before the podcast started, right before we started taping, and I was like, how do you spell conscience? And he's like, why? And I'm like, because I'm gonna put with a clear conscience can I make that a no school pick. And I love you, but I was trying to be really polite. And she's a real fan of mine, and you know she's been to a couple of shows. This person emailed listener.
So you don't want
to
burn it.
It's not about that. It's about like I don't want her to make her think. But that movie was
that you're calling her stupid. Yeah.
So bad. No, I would never call anybody stupid for a movie they pick.
No.
You've told them many.
Yeah,
movies,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I've
yeah,
never
yeah.
called you
yeah.
stupid for them. But
you thought it hard though.
No, the movies are stupid. But you're not stupid for picking them. The movie that she picked, and I'm not picking this movie. I just want to let the audience know is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Whoa!
And I'm like, I'm not picking that movie. I'm sorry.
Wow!
I'm not picking that movie. Ironically, my tattoo artist has a movie poster, a small movie poster.
I've only seen clips of that movie because it's so random.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Really.
Randomly bad.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's like one of those like different like sketch things, right?
No, it's really bad. It's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking about, but it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
It's terrible.
The title is Killer Clowns, and Clowns is spelled with a K.
The A.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That it's really bad, man.
Jesus.
But I thank you for your submission, and I hope you keep submitting. The one who submitted, I don't want to say her name, but I want to thank you for your submission, and I want you to keep submitting. And to show you that I want you to keep submitting, I am, like I said, picking picks. I'm going to pick a pick from another person that submitted another movie.
Are we not saying names for...
Unless they specifically say, hey, it's okay to say names. I don't want to say names. I don't know if it's okay.
How about we reverse it? From now on, if you send an email, because I like to give credit to people when we interact with them, you know? So from now on... Like,
but sometimes your emails are like sexycockinthear@yahoo.com. So you want me to give a shout out to
whenever you send us... So now, from now on, whenever you send us anything to woobro@narysigns.com, just let us know your name, your real name. And if you don't want us to use it, then put that in there. Otherwise, we'll give you credit for being part of the show.
All right. So the pick, again, I'm putting my – this is not my pick, but it's a great pick. I'm going to go – and again, there's three other picks that came in. So I'm going to go ahead and just pick one of those three. 3 o'clock High.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking great
that
pick.
That one I remember. That wasn't on your list?
No.
Wow.
There's a couple of them. I've told you this in the past, and I just feel bad because there's been one dude that sends an email, and he'll recommend movies, which last week he did that in two of them. We already had said in previous podcasts, but he'll send me suggestions, and I'll be like, it's already on my list, and I'll make sure to let him know, hey, great pick, but it's already on my list, I don't want to take his credit, but at the same time, be like, well, I kind of already thought of that. But this was one of the first ones.
Our listeners are outmatched though, because you have this weird memory of movies.
Well, anyways, but
3 o'clock High.
These three picks that these people sent, when he sent 3 o'clock High, I was like, great, that's fucking awesome. I hadn't remembered about it.
Yeah.
It was great. It really was to me growing up that 3 o'clock High was a Ferris Bueller-esque.
kind of. Like, there was this weird vibe to it where, like, it was building. Like,
it all happened in one day.
Yeah, it all happened in one day. It was building, and there was other things going on. Yeah, was, you know,
and
like,
they all came together at the end.
Yes, exactly.
I think
that's a good flick.
It's a great movie.
That's definitely getting watched.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Definitely getting watched.
So I remember him talking about, to this day, every time I write or see somebody write upside down, I think about the scene where he's in the school store and he's selling a pen to the hot chick. And he's like, if you're ever writing upside down, and she's like, I don't write upside down. And he's like, yeah, but this pen could write upside down. It's like a space pen.
She's
like, I don't write. So have you ever doing your homework? And she's like, I don't write upside down. And I always think about that. That's one of those things where every time I see somebody writing upside down or writing on a wall or whatever, yes. Or whenever I get a receipt from a delivery guy delivering my fattening food and I write on like on the side, I'm like, hey, I wish I had a space pen I could write upside down and
stuff like that. In 3 o'clock high.
In 3 o'clock high. So every time I think about, see, or hear about Brass Knuckles, that movie comes
up.
Every
yes.
single time. Every single time. Oh, Brass Knuckles, like in 3 o'clock. Fucking great movie, man. Great movie, great pick. I didn't get your name down, so my bad. And I will give you credit next time you
Well, definitely. So that's the thing now. If you send us anything, just include your name and we'll credit you. If you don't want us to use your name, if you're telling some embarrassing story.
But and you know why I never thought of it? Because, and I guess I'm a sucker to that. Not to say that I want to copy other podcasts, but I listen to all the podcasts and they never give names. They never go, this person emailed us. I get that's why I never thought of it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't say names.
I'm
saying that's why I never thought of it.
Some of the podcasts I listen to, they just, like on Twitter, this person said this.
Oh, yeah. If it's on Twitter, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my pick is 3 o'clock high. Next week I will pick another pick. Another listener pick.
Right. Wait, so. You never said your Van Damme Mountain.
My Van Damme Mountain. It's really tough because here's the reason why it's really tough. Because one, it's only four, and two, I don't know if to include JCVD in it. Because if you watch JCVD, have you seen that movie?
No.
If you watch JCVD,
but it's new.
It's not new. It's kind of like two or three years old.
So right, but newer, I mean, it's not right? in retrospect, right. in comparison.
If you watch JCVD, I said this last week, but I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He got snubbed for an Oscar.
Really?
I'm telling you this. He got
snubbed. That's like, you're not exaggerating?
I am not exaggerating. Wow. I'm not trying to be funny. He got snubbed for an Oscar. He got snubbed for an Oscar nomination. He should at least be nominated for an Oscar. But because he is who he is, he did not get nominated. But if you look at this movie, the writing is incredible. I haven't seen it.
What's the premise of the movie? A bank is getting robbed.
It's half documentary,
himself?
It's half documentary, half scripted movie or whatever. But he plays himself in a movie, an aging action star actor.
Does he play
Jean-Claude Van Damme. He talks about his real life. One of the greatest scenes in the movie, and I'm not giving anything away here because it's just in the middle of the movie, he breaks the fourth wall. Looks at the camera and talks about his shit, like his divorce, how much his divorce, the stress that his, like he talks about all that stuff when he's like people, you know, all this stress that he was going through and all this shit that he was going through in his life and the fact that his movies have dropped off and he is like recognizing this and verbally saying this to the camera.
Wow. So
and then in a weird, trippy way gets pushed back into the movie, physically gets pushed back into the movie and is now, it's really fucking good, man. And you go, here's the two things I don't like about the movie are one, it's in French. I want to say French. I think it's in French.
It's probably in French.
If you have the DVD, you go watch it dubbed, but it's dubbed.
I never watch anything.
So you go watch it in French with the subtitles, or you go watch it dubbed. I had to watch it dubbed. I can't fucking read that. I'm not gonna go through and start reading.
We've established your hate of reading.
Yeah. But aside from that, I really want.
It's very
to
distracting
it.
When you
it,
have
it's,
to.
It is.
Like, I didn't know it was a French movie or a foreign language. I thought it was an English movie.
I'm telling you, he got snubbed for an Oscar.
Wow.
Like and I'm not just saying that because it says it on the cover. Like if you read the cover of the movie. It literally says like he should be nominated for an Oscar. The
now,
cover says.
It's an action movie.
Yes, it's an action movie, but it's it's a weird hybrid.
I'm watching it.
It's
I'm
a
watching
weird
it.
Hybrid.
It's getting
so
watched.
That's why my predicament comes in when you go, oh, what's your mountain? I'm like, by far, not even close. The best movie Van Damme's ever made is JCVD.
Really, best like
movie
in terms of quality.
Best movie quality, writings, acting, acting.
Yes.
Everything is JCVD, but it's so different from everything else he's ever done. I don't know if to include that in the mountain.
I would say that's
why I'm like in this.
I would say, all right, we'll limit it to, because I haven't seen it, we'll limit it to the classic Jean-Claude Van Damme. Ones that came out in the theater.
Right. The ones that came out in the theater, that's easy. That would be Time Cop, Bloodsport, Kickboxer, and Lionheart. That's cake to me.
Yeah.
That
Which one would you take out? If you include JCVD?
Lionheart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard, right?
It's not that hard, but I don't know which one to include because I love Lionheart. I don't want to make it seem as if all. But I mean, if you were
right.
But JCVD would be. I mean,
it's on there.
And sure. I just don't. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know what other example to give of
another movie
star to be like. This is so different from everything else in her catalog. Like it's beyond different. And it's
Jean-Claude Van Damme's Punch Drunk Love. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. It isn't. It's like, it's so different from a thing, but in a good way. There's no backlash to it. You know what I mean? Nobody saw anybody who did see JCVD. Nobody said, what the fuck, man? Just give me like, it's so different.
Like it was okay.
The fact that he broke the fourth wall, man, made it
really
so unique.
I have to watch it now.
Really good. I have it, but it's on Blu-ray, bro.
So everybody watch JCVD and then tell us what you thought.
Yeah. Tell me what you thought about it. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Woobro@nerdyscience.com.
Yeah.
I do want to mention, we miss tweet of the week every now and again, but you and I went off on this little texting when we saw Sylvester Stallone on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He posted up.
First of all, I've been following Sylvester Stallone for like 2 or 3 years.
He doesn't post anything.
Doesn't post shit. No. And the only time he does post it is when his movies are about to come out.
Yes.
And that's it.
But so he posted up.
Which I'm totally okay with.
Yeah.
As a comic who constantly tweeting.
Yeah.
Follow me and listen to my podcast. I'll be here this weekend.
Exactly.
I'll be headlining August 25th at the Miami Museum of Science.
How dare Sylvester Stallone promote a movie I'm going to go watch?
Tickets are on sale. It's my CD recording. There's 2 shows, 8 o'clock and 10:15. Tickets are on sale at laughstub.com. $10 each, August 25th, a Friday. Like if I tweet something like that about laughstub.com/nerdyscience, if I tweet stuff like that, then you know I could accept Stallone doing it.
So there's something you're trying to tell us.
I don't. No,
sir.
That's fine.
But
you know what? If you don't get it, you're just not gonna get it. All right. I shouldn't have to say these things to you. You should just understand me. The fact that I have to ask you, you should want to know.
Oh, fuck that noise!
That's
so bad.
That was a bad. Oh. That's my favorite. I actually have a joke about that. Like my wife being like, "You should want to like," but. All right, but okay, I'll tell me. Like, no, you should want to know. Like, well, I want to know now. No, but now it's too late because I've already told you. Well, then fuck you. I can't do nothing. So, all right,
quick to the DeLorean.
So, exactly. Tweet.
So out of nowhere, so all of a sudden, Sylvester Stallone starts tweeting again, and in one day he tweets, "Hope you guys stay strong," and EX2, Expendables 2, he's talking about.
Expendables 2.
Brings the beef. JCVD kicks it into high gear. Arnold and Bruce are shining full blast for your enjoyment. Already I'm excited.
Yeah.
Already this sounds...
Got it chubby.
Yeah.
Just from that one tweet, got
just
it chubby.
Just from that I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Then he writes...
Let me rephrase that. I got a chubby from Stallone tweeting.
I'm yeah.
Like, he's tweeting. He's tweeting. Everybody pay attention. Wait.
Everybody shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Stop the presses.
And then what's his tweets?
And then he tweets about JCVD, and I go, "Oh, chubby,
no.
That's...
here we go." And then he writes, "When we fought, JCVD and myself left pieces of our health on the floor. Epic. He is a true badass and gentleman. We killed each other. All of a sudden." You text me, you're like, "Did you see?
I need a sandwich."
Yeah.
Make me a sandwich.
Oh my God.
Fucking greatness.
And then all of a sudden you start texting back and forth.
Yeah, I texted you and I said, "Did you see the tweet that I retweeted from Stallone?"
And I went look, I was like, "Holy shit."
Yeah, so
oh my God,
great.
Oh my God. Like we turned into like giddy schoolgirls, like,
that was
"Oh
great.
My God, yeah. He's going to do the thing."
Yeah. That was
and
great.
My favorite response, I was like, "Oh, Nary, your pussy must be so wet right now."
Yes. And it was.
Oh,
and
my God.
And then I texted you back a picture of a wet spot. A wet size, the size of an... It was a bed. It was a picture of a bed with a wet spot on it, the size of a fucking... It was huge.
amazing. But you understand, like, if there's ever such a thing as like viral marketing, that one tweet is like the perfect example of getting everybody who's ever wanted to see Jean-Claude Van Damme fight Sylvester Stallone. We've established on this podcast that we are basically the Sly Stallone old school pick podcast. Like,
pretty much.
We love fucking Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm a JCVD guy. First.
You're more so than me, but
I'm JCVD all the way. But like, if you put a gun to my head and said, "Hey, you got to pick one of these stars to see their movies," like, I would pick. As much of a Rocky fan as I am, and I'm a diehard Rocky fan, and I don't want to downplay that. I'm a huge JCVD. Like, that, my love for JCVD. I wrote him a fan letter, my friend.
Oh,
when
shit.
I was a fucking kid, that my brothers found and read and made fun of me and ridiculed me to the point that I did, and I played it off, man. When they were like, "Oh," and they were reading me back their fucking, and they were, I didn't give them the satisfaction. I'm like, "Give me that," or blah blah, or whatever. I was like, "Yeah, I'm a fan." I was like,
take all the power out of an argument when you agree
maybe
with them.
Maybe 12 years old. My brothers were like 14 and 17, ragging on this fucking 12, 13 year old.
Yeah,
and I totally didn't give them the power. I was like, "I'm like, look at
this guy, right? Yeah. I love you, Jean-Claude."
Oh yeah, yeah, no, in the letter, I remember this because this is one of the things that they made fun of me. They said, in the letter I wrote to Van Damme, and I said, "Oh, my friend said that you'll never write back to me, but just like in Lionheart, I said wrong bet." Yeah. I fucking quoted him in the letter to him. I quoted him.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing.
Ah, that's fine.
I'm laughing near you.
No, it's fine. I laugh at myself, but I'm like, that's how much of a fan I am. I've never written any, like, fan letter to anybody. Nowadays, it's even harder to write fan letter because you have Twitter or whatever. Like, I'll tweet Jay Moore some stuff because I'm that much of a fan of his podcast.
Right.
I love his podcast, and him and I have such similar interests and similar things. Like, his religion, his faith is the same as mine, even though he's Catholic. I'm not technically Catholic, but and I'll tweet him like, "Hey man, great podcast episode. I love the fact, you know, it was all about love. Thank you." And I'll tweet him stuff like that, but which my fellow comedy friends, both of us, will make fun of me. Van Damme is the only one I physically wrote a letter, put a pen to paper, and wrote a letter.
That's kind of cool.
Never mailed it.
Oh.
I couldn't. My brothers took it and mailed it, and I didn't want to be that guy. Like, "Give it back to me." I didn't want to be that guy because I knew then. Even then, I knew that's what they want me to do.
Right.
They want to physically hold it over my head. And be like, and then keep reading and keep making fun of me. So I didn't give them the satisfaction. And I was like, "But I'm a fan. I don't give a fuck."
Does that letter still exist somewhere?
I have no idea. I sincerely doubt it.
Oh, no. Because can you imagine?
It's over 15 years old.
You should send that letter now.
And it's not even like one of those things where...
Send it now. Like, it got lost in the mail.
Yeah. Just,
and all of a sudden, Jean-Claude Van Damme gets it.
I got to find a 13-year-old fat kid and be like, "Hey, I need you to write this in your handwriting." So,
But yes, that now you don't even have to decide.
I'm telling you, I don't have to, and I know he's a bad guy in the movie.
Stallone.
Aside from the fact that from what I told you last week, from the trailers, he's the only one dressed in black and everybody else is dressed in camouflage.
Yeah, he's gotta be a bad guy.
Not only that, but from Stallone's tweet, he's like, "When we fought, we left pieces of our health on the floor." I'm like, that's great. But it's clear that you're fighting. Ugh. So that means that he's a antagonist. So
I wish he would tweet more. Like, I like Stallone's writing when he tweets.
He's a great writer. I don't know if you know that, but he wrote Rocky.
I know, but like, he's the condensed. Yeah. I don't know. I like. He's a good guy on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter. The Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
He needs the
press. Yeah. Follow him for the 200 people that follow us.
I'm still so fucking excited about that. Like, I can't wait to see it.
No, it's I'm excited. I'm really excited. All right, so. Where are we now? We're at an hour and 20. So, what else did I want to talk about? There was a couple things.
I cut you off with the Van Damme.
No. Somebody had to. If it wasn't you, somebody else was going to do it.
You see the guys run away from the thunder, the lightning that struck it?
No, I saw. You know what? It's funny because I wrote this down, and here's my notes. I wrote down my notes, and normally I'm really good about remembering what I meant.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember in this case. I wrote down kids programming, what's okay for kids to watch, I guess. and I don't know where I was going with that.
Did you see like a kid show? With,
I don't
like,
remember what
something? Hamburger the key the University of the Kids show.
Hamburger Elementary. it's like no, I really don't remember what I meant by that, but that would be funny. So weird. Like I'm really good about my memory is really good normally. Normally I'm able to say yeah, I know what I meant by that. Hence,
are you talking about like Latin children's television programming?
No. Have you seen Latin? I don't know if you've ever really sit down and watch Latin programming.
No.
But you could put it on mute and it's just a bunch of incredibly beautiful women half naked running around and you go, wow, this is
hilarious.
No, like it's one of those things where I remember walking in to places like you walk into a doctor's office and they have it on, but they have no volume. And I'm hypnotized. I'm like watching the TV and they're like, yes. Mr. Science. I'm like, shh, 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 shh. Like, I'm just like, shh, God, this is an important part of Salvador Gigante and fucking random chicks running around naked.
This is the best show.
This is the best show ever. Why am I not watching this channel all the fucking time?
It's like, sir, we need to drill your teeth. Hold on.
Yeah, it's fine. Just do whatever you're going to do. I did start going to the gym today, which I'm really proud of myself because I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym.
I woke up to go to work this morning and I see you like tweet at that early in the morning. I'm like, something must be wrong with his Twitter.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Did he put it on automatic Twitter? I started going and I feel really good. It's one of those things where it's weird that I feel that good. Normally I'd be tired. I'm sleepy, but I'm not that. I'm like, I thought I was going to feel like shit. And I'm like, I feel really, really good. So I feel happy about that.
No, I've been struggling through. Because speaking of like, we were talking to Dan earlier, but like I'm trying to do the, you know, I have an agent, I'm trying to get roles doing acting stuff, and it's happened again where they tell me that I'm in between sizes where I need to gain, I either need to gain 50 pounds and be the jolly
50.
That they use the 50. And I'm like,
I'd be like, all right, I could gain.
I got to get up to like 300. Are you fucking kidding me? I guess they assumed I'm lighter than I thought that I am. But they were like, oh, you got to get fat. Like not just heavy, like fat. I got to be fat.
Shit, maybe I should go into acting.
I'm telling you, man, just be fat. Or I need to shred and rip up. Get buff. Right. Like work, or at least work out the glory muscles, you know, like the shoulders and the arms.
The
and
arms,
shit.
Right. Shoulders, arms, and chest, man.
That's it.
That's all you need.
I'm just going to start going to the gym and you'll see me just from the nipples up fucking blasted.
Look at his nipples.
From his nipples to his neck. Oh, Lord.
Delicious. That's funny, man.
So, I don't know. I keep hitting that wall of like motivation. I need it. I know once I get the ball rolling.
Well, that's what I did, man. I just had a horrible week as far as horrible meaning in the amount of weight that I must have gained. I'm too afraid to weigh myself after last week. 4th of July came and I just ate.
Yeah,
and it was horrible.
That's right.
But so I'm afraid to weigh myself again. I'm scared. But that was I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I just can't.
You had like the meat sweats and.
Well, no, I had the I'm not burning my pants anymore.
Oh.
And again, my pants are now smaller than they were 2 years ago because it's still in comparison. But I'm like, nah, I can't do this anymore. I'm not gonna go. Yeah. I'm not buying another pair of pants anymore. Fuck that. I'm gonna go down. So that's where
that's good. And my struggle is the waking up early. Once I get like a routine, I don't know how you got up early in the morning to go fucking.
Well, the food coma that I put myself in last night really helped. The fact that I was out like a light at 10:30 at night because the amount of food that I ate. Oh, I saw Spider-Man yesterday. That's the thing. I saw Spider-Man and I ate a shitload of movie theater food.
Oh,
and I
was like, ooh, out like shit, a light. That's so bad.
Yeah, it's really bad, really bad. I'm talking about a lot.
Delicious.
It was like large popcorn, which most of the popcorn my wife was. I mean, we didn't get even halfway done, but she did eat the popcorn that we did eat. And then I had M&M's and a Diet Coke and nachos, and it was just. I'm
just like
you, man,
all the best bad things.
10:30, I was out like, I'm fucking tired. I'm going to sleep. It was a food coma. Like, I'm sorry. But so at 5 o'clock in the morning, I still had 7 hours of sleep in me. That's pretty fucking good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Shit, you're
not
right.
Bad at all. So, but I saw Spider-Man yesterday.
I know. We've both seen it.
Yeah, we've both seen it. Relax. Anybody listening, I'm not going to give too much away. We're not going to give away anything.
It's only a weekend.
It's only a weekend. So, we're not going to give anything away. I know what you were talking about last time. And I wish I would have said it last time because now people won't believe me that I know what you were talking about when you said there's something that they put a new spin on. And I was like, huh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, and oh, I knew what creative. It was from a couple of things. One, the trailer.
Oh, okay.
I saw it in the trailer. And two, the if you go to Target or if you go to Walmart, all the toys that they have,
uh-huh.
they have this as one of the toys. I'm assuming is what you're talking about, the shooter, the way he shoots his web. Is that what you were talking about last week when you said a new spin to something?
No, no, no. That okay. No, I knew about that. That he makes his
yeah.
He makes the web shoot.
And so in the movie, in this movie, as opposed to the previous movies where the web was something biological, and the comic books as well. By the way, the comic books have him being able to shoot web biologically, like through his arm, whatever. Not the original comics. The original comics, he did make.
He made his own.
Yeah, he made his own.
He had the web shooters.
He had the web shooters, and then he. And
there
then,
was a series after. In like the 90s?
I want to say the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's too, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Where it was like biological.
Yeah, like he
and then, was in his hand. So that's what, if you've seen the other, if you were one of the 300 billion people that saw the other, the previous incarnations of Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, that's how he had it. It was like built in, it was like, you know, biological. It was in his body. Yeah. So well, now they have web shooters. I don't like the web shooter idea.
I do. For the record, and I don't know who's keeping this record either. For the record, it is the best of all the Spider-Mans.
Yes, it is. By far, not even close.
Yeah, like it's like you because you. I remember it's not people, even close. People loved the first Spider-Man.
I don't understand why. It was fucking cheesy. That I always had a problem with Spider-Man because I liked it in the sense of one, it was a comic book movie.
Yes.
And it helped bring the popularity of comic book movies to other franchises.
Yeah, it was
franchises.
A huge deal.
It
yeah,
was a huge
yeah.
deal. So I appreciated it for that. But I always thought it was cheesy. I always thought it was a cheesy movie. And people always use the excuse of, well, it's a cheesy comic, which they're right.
My thing
but
was
But I just don't... I never see why you have to incorporate cheesiness. I'm like, I always... First of all, I always thought the X-Men Part 1, I always thought that was better than the Spider-Man. I always... And
yeah, yeah,
nobody
yeah.
else seems to agree with me. And
the first X-Men was better than the first Spider-Man.
And but nobody... And I think it's better than Spider-Man 2. I don't give a fuck. I don't think... I just the cheesy lines of, oh, I'm just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And, blah, and it's like, ah, that's cheesy. I know he said it in the comic books, but you don't have to put it...
Well,
you know, you can make a reference to it without actually saying it. You could say something like, I'm just your friendly neighbor. You get it.
And yeah, yeah,
And then people will be like, ah, it's a shout out. You know what I mean?
It's like an homage.
Right.
But the...
That last scene in Spider-Man 2 when Mary Jane leaves her wedding and she's in her wedding dress and she goes to his shitty-ass apartment and they kiss and then he hears the sirens and he looks out to the sirens because he's, you know...
Yeah.
And he turns to her and she goes... And I'm not exaggerating. She goes, go get him, tiger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that crap.
I'm like, all right, fuck you. But this movie... I don't want to harp on those. The Amazing Spider-Man really was by far the best Spider-Man. It was really, really good.
Someone I went with, they were like, oh, they made him too sarcastic. I'm like,
no, that's really
guy,
how Peter
like,
Parker was.
When you're well, that's real fucking listic. When you're a weak nerd,
yeah,
and you're super fucking smart, what do you build? You build your mouth. You build your insult.
I actually like the fact that. Yes, they didn't make him a nerd in this movie. They made him not a popular guy, and they made him kind of an outcast. Like but he wasn't a nerd. Like
he's in a science school, so it's given that he's a super smart kid.
Yeah, and then he's
but they didn't harp on it, like make him push up glasses.
Yeah, he's not goofy and falling over himself. He's like, all right, we fucking get it, Tobey Maguire. You're a nerd.
Yeah.
We don't have to keep going with this. You know,
honestly, I think that has a lot to do with how nerds are popular now. Like being a geek.
And you know what? It's funny because same thing with they approached it the same way with Superman Returns, which I know you don't like, but Clark was
actually you've changed me on it. I kind of am okay with it now.
Clark in the movie Superman Returns, he's a nerd, but he's not a nerd. He's more of a
he's like a middle America white guy.
Yeah, he's just like a regular dude.
He's
not
doofy.
Yeah, goofy is a strong word. I think
I said doofy.
Oh, doofy. I don't know what that word means.
It's
I think
a combination
you made that word
of like
goofy
yeah.
and dumb. I think
it's
you
like,
made that.
Yeah, like dumb and goofy.
That's a horrible combination. Please don't ever do that again. Is that a real word? That's not a real word.
No, it's from the scary movie where Officer Doofy.
Oh, right. I like the hey, look, just because you're not the star quarterback doesn't mean that you are the pocket protector nerd. Like we
it's
get
not
it.
The Saved by the Bell classifications
right.
of people. Like
Thank
you're
you.
Not the jock,
exactly.
the nerd with the pocket protector.
So I like the fact that in this movie they made him look. I ride a skateboard and I'm good with a skateboard.
Yeah,
but I'm not. But I'm still kind of a social outcast in the sense of I'm not the popular kid, but I do photography, yeah, and I have a photography class. And
honestly, you know what parts I like that I didn't think I was gonna like? The parts with him and Gwen Stacy, the like them like being attracted to each other, that little part of it I kind of dug.
Gwen Stacy being the
Emma Stone.
Why would you not like that?
No, you know how like they force like the romantic interest,
and that's what I think, that it wasn't forced. Like they forced the Mary Jane thing.
That one was like, who the fuck? Like, why? Just ignore you. You know, like the girl's a mess. But in this one,
the girl's a mess.
Yeah, the girl. Am I wrong?
You're so right.
And then in this one, it all kind of just happened.
The lizard looked amazing.
I thought it looked really good too.
He looked amazing.
There was a couple of really good scare moments.
I love the fact that he could talk.
Yes.
Because the lizard in the comic books talks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a spoiler. Fuck you. If you
say, I would say spoiler alert.
Whatever. But it was really good. I recommend it. I honestly believe that I didn't give anything away.
No.
So
you want to know the scene that I was talking about? We'll do it. Just like pause. I'll tell you about it and then we can talk about it. Well, I'll tell you right here. Okay.
Yeah, no, that part's in the trailer, dude.
But that's the thing. I try not to see any trailers.
Here's the thing. I don't go out of my way to watch trailers, especially if I'm already gonna watch the movie. I think we've already talked about this. I don't know if we have, because I talk about it with my friends. The point of a trailer is to get people who are unaware of a movie, or unsure if they want to see the movie, right, or they don't want to see the movie, to get them, to entice them into seeing the movie.
Right.
I've stopped watching, like my friends will send me links to like, hey, here's a new Dark Knight trailer. I'm going to fucking watch it.
Right.
I don't need to watch another trailer because that's just showing me more parts of the movie that eventually going to watch anyway. And it's going to ruin it for me. So I don't go out of my way to watch trailers. But if I see it, like if I'm watching TV and I see the commercial, I'll just watch the commercial or whatever. But I don't go out of my way for trailers. But that part was in one of the trailers that I just happened to watch.
I had seen a couple like, you know, video, like a online trailer, this TV spot, and it was like the quick one, the first person one that you said were like,
I hated that one. Yeah, that's the one I hated.
Yeah.
I hated that one.
And you were anti this movie because of that trailer.
Yeah. I was very like, they killed it. They think that this is bad. I was very anti it. It's in one of our previous podcast episodes. But then I saw the trailer.
Yes.
When we saw the Avengers, I saw the trailer and I go, holy shit, I want to see it now.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty much the only trailer, but I guess I didn't remember it because
I've seen other commercials. They came out in the commercials. Anyways, but who cares?
But who cares? The thing is that I like the approach they took. I
thought it was a really good movie.
It was good. The story is simple. You know, like it's pretty straightforward in terms of it's Spider-Man, so they have to hit a lot of key elements.
No, I don't think the story was that simple. I think it left a lot of questions and a lot of open doors to possible.
Yes, yeah,
and I don't think it was that simple. I think that's true.
But I'm saying don't expect there to be like dramatic shifts in.
No, I like the shifts that they did, even with Uncle Ben and stuff like that. I like the shifts that they did because they still it was good.
They
man.
Hit them all. They paid respect to everything.
They paid respect to everything, but not in the literal like we're gonna do a shot by shot remake.
Better than the Avengers?
No. I texted Mike for the listeners. I texted Mike with, I just saw the Spider-Man and it's better than the Avengers. And then he wrote back, which was completely joking around, by the way.
I wrote back.
And he wrote back, wow, that's a bold statement. I'm like, bold statement? That's your fucking reply?
I was like,
you should be fucking cursing me right now.
Yeah, like, I was like, that's bold. I was just kind of like.
I'm just joking.
I'm going to give you an opportunity
no,
to say just kidding.
Shut the fuck
Send
up.
Send me the winky smiley face. No. Send me the tongue out, whatever.
I was really expecting you to be like, what? I wanted to get a rise out of you, and you're like, that's a bold statement. I'm like,
no, because at that point, I just dismissed it as like, oh, whatever.
Neri's doing drugs now.
Yeah.
So
for a guy who doesn't drink, he's sure smoking a lot of crack.
A lot of crack and heroin.
Holy shit.
We went to the movies, and man, let me tell you something. I wish my wife was in here. She would tell you. We had the most annoying people in the movie theater. We had fucking kids in the movie theater.
Aye.
And they were yelling. The kids were yelling throughout the entire movie. Aye, 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 aye. It wasn't like, like little babies. It was like three-year-olds who were saying words. But
like, who the fuck brings those kids to the theater?
Thank you. And then everybody at one point was shutting the fucking kid up like, shh, shh, shh. And the fucking parents still, there were fucking Jar-Jars, right? There was a group of Jar-Jars. It was like five or six Jar-Jars. And they were like, And the worst part is there would be times where the kid would say something that's funny because it's coming from a kid.
It's hilarious.
Like they kissed. Like you know, when they kiss or whatever, and I'm not spoiling anything, it's a fucking kiss.
he didn't say who they were.
Yeah. So
it was Uncle Ben and Aunt May.
Yeah, so So when they kiss, the little kid goes, "Ooh, they're kissing!" And I thought that, and everybody laughed because it's cute.
And
whatever,
encouraging the kid to make fucking noise.
And that's the problem, that it was encouraging the kid, and then later on it was talking, just like nothing. It was a he, I think. Like, it wasn't saying anything. He wasn't saying anything specific. He was just talking for the sake of talking. Like,
he's having a conversation like he's at fucking home.
No, he's like, okay, yeah, whatever. And he was just like making noise for the sake of making noise. And then at one point, the kid goes, and that's the reaction that everybody fucking had. Everybody started laughing because it's Woody Woodpecker. So you fucking... Come on, that's funny, right? But it's in the fucking movie, and everybody started laughing, but that encouraged him to go even more, and then he kept on doing it, same Woody Woodpecker thing. And
kid outside.
Like, hey, fucking hack, at least come up with a different callback, a different cartoon.
I've heard this joke
already. I've heard this joke already. I'm not impressed. There was somebody literally that goes, "It's really not that funny." Like, out loud, this woman said, "It's really not that funny."
That's and not it funny, was the you guys. Most,
here's the part that even got me even more upset. I didn't know this, my wife did. Right after the movie, I'm waiting to see, you know, the next clip or whatever. And my wife is walking out, and then you see somebody's hand go up on in front of the projector. Like, you say, "Hey, look, I'm in front of the projector." My wife told me later after we left that it was the fucking dad of the kid.
Oh,
look at me. I'm fucking on the projectors right here, and I can fuck. It's like, how fucking old are you? You have a kid. First of all, you shouldn't be bringing your kid in here. Second of all, the moment your kid started talking, which was 30 minutes into a 2.5 hour movie, you should have fucking left and walk outside and talk to the kid outside and be like, "Listen, you can't make any noise, right? You can't make any noise." First of all. Second of all,
future.
He just failed as a parent. Just failed. I'm like, you.
Step one, bringing the kid.
Yeah. Step one, bringing the kid. Step two, allowing the kid to keep talking and not taking him outside and having a talk with him. I'm like, you're a fucking douchebag. Right. And step three, putting your fucking hands in front of the projector as if you've never seen a projector.
Strike three.
We get it, Jaja. We get it, Jaja. You don't fucking have projectors in Cuba or where the fuck you're from. And I'm saying Cuba because they were very valsero, very like, "Hey, I said it, get loud." And I'm like, fucking stop it.
I'm angry at that.
And my wife, if you hear me right now, I was the one yesterday that I had to tell my wife, come down, chill, take it easy.
Yeah, you're like holding her back.
As excited as I am right now.
He's not worth it.
As excited as I am right now, as worked up as I am right now, I was the one calming my wife down yesterday. So
she was, unleashed the fury of.
Yeah, unleashed the fury of like, what the fuck?
I'll tell you what, that is cardinal sin. Like, because look, if you know your kid is behaved, then maybe.
Dude, I had a 7-year-old kid right next to me, and right next to him was his like 4-year-old sister, 3-year-old sister. When they sat next to me, I go, "Fuck my life."
Yeah.
I literally said, "Fuck my life." They were so well behaved.
That's so awesome.
It was incredible.
Yes,
and that,
I was respect
them,
that.
It was them two, then their two parents, and then another like 11-year-old on the other side of them. And I was like, "Oh, fuck my life." And they were not a fucking peep. Not a peep. They
eating
were
their popcorn.
They were
quietly
eating their popcorn, watching the movie. They're like wide eye, like wow, like saying shit, like wow, like you know, kids do.
Yeah,
when you see Spider-Man.
Of course.
Very
I
impressed.
Said wow.
Very
I was impressed. Saying that. I was wide eyed and shit.
You are about the Hulk. You're like, oh, Banner, let me suck your cock. Don't stop taking your kids to movies.
Yeah,
if you can't control them, and if they start acting up as children will do, take them outside, man.
Yeah,
there has to be one parent that take one for the team. And be like, "Hey, I'm going to go take him outside. I'm going to go walk around with
him. It's your kid. You got to fucking deal with him, not us."
And the fact that the whole movie theater was shutting him up.
Yeah.
And the guy still did nothing.
Yeah.
He did not flinch. Fuck him.
So Neri has unleashed his fury at Chick-fil-A, Buffalo Wild Wings, and that fucking Jaja that didn't shut up his kid.
Didn't shut the fucking kid up. Jesus. Kris Kringle. Anyways, that's our time, man. We're going to be out of here. We're at an hour and 40, so we're going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys for checking us out. Check out the website, NeriScience.com or whatwashisname.com. I am doing the Fort Lauderdale improv on Wednesday for the Michael Yo Hot Mess Comedy Tour. That tour goes to West Palm Beach on Thursday, and I'm headlining the West Palm Beach Improv on Sunday night. So check that out. And again,
so
please
stuff.
Buy tickets. August 25th, please buy tickets.
Laughstub.com/NeriScience.
just search my name, Nary Science. You could also go to the
havenotscomedy.com
havenotscomedy.com and check that out. Check out my Twitter, Nary Science, and then at Mike Mercadal. And then if you want to email us something, it doesn't have to be an old school pick, but if you want to make an old school pick, great, at wubro@narysigns.com W-U-B-R-O at narysigns.com. So thanks a lot. And when you do all of that, that's how winning is done.
Thank you for listening to What's Up, Bro? With Nary Science and Mike Mercadal. Be sure to check out HaveNotsComedy.com for tickets to Nary Science's upcoming CD recording. Be there or... Nope, there's no alternative. No B-square. Just be there.